We're going to start.
Find yourself a comfortable seat.
We're going to start the this March 27th special meeting of Chicago State Board of Trustees. It's hereby called to order. Ms. Phillips, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Buckner?
Here.
Trustee Gowen?
Here.
Trustee Griffin?
Here.
Trustee Harper?
Present.
Trustee Hatch?
Here.
Trustee Smith?
Here.
Trustee Vallis?
Here.
Trustee Zoller?
Present.
A quorum exists for the business of this board to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you certify that a notice of this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meeting Act?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and Academic Library buildings.
All right, thank you. First action item, Board Attorney Services, Ackerman Limited. Trustee Gowen will give the presentation.
Chicago State University Board of Trustees, approval of authority to enter contract for professional services. Whereas Chicago State University Board of Trustees requires that all transactions involving personal services agreements and purchases $100,000 or more require approval of the board, and whereas the Chicago State University Board of Trustees requires the professional services of an attorney, and whereas the Chicago State University Board of Trustees will retain the law firm of Ackerman LLP, and therefore be resolved that the Board of Trustees approval of retaining the law firm of Ackerman LLP as board attorney.
The chair will entertain a motion to approve the board attorney services resolution.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved in second. Will we have a roll call vote, Ms. Phillips?
Trustee Buckner?
Yes.
Trustee Gowen?
Yes.
Trustee Griffin?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Vallis?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
All right, at this time, we will hear public and employee comments. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics. Issues under negotiation as part of the university's collective bargaining process. Statements concerning the private activities, lifestyles, or beliefs of individuals employed or associated with the university. Grievances of individual students or employees or any personnel matters. Comments shall be limited to 2 minutes. The board will call the speakers who have signed up prior to the meeting. Ms. Phillips, will you please call the roll of those who have signed up to speak for public comment?
This first speaker is Dr. Benes.
Reverend Dr. Hatch, Mr. Smith, Mr. Vallis, Mr. Buckner, Mr. Gowen, Ms. Griffith, Ms. Harper, Ms. Zoller. Chicago State better off than it was 7 years ago. As I stand here today, Chicago State University is in desperate need of a complete change in its senior leadership. Many of our senior administrators have now been in their positions for 5, 6, or 7 years, and the result for the university has been catastrophic. As former Illinois Senate President Emil Jones recently said, Chicago State University is on life support. For the architects of this disaster who remain ensconced in their jobs, their abysmal performance has been rewarded by promotions and raises. Mainly through surrogates, these persons who have brought us to the brink of destruction are now lobbying to keep their jobs. I ask that you not give credence to the arguments of people who desire to maintain the university's status quo. They have no affirmative arguments, only innuendo and divisive appeals. Please do not be distracted by the noise emanating from that quarter. I ask instead that you focus on the results produced by these senior administrators. We are all aware of the declining enrollment, multiple scandals, costly legal judgments, financial shenanigans, and crony hiring practices that have brought this school to its knees. An institution's leaders are ultimately responsible for its successes or failures. Our leaders have plainly failed This is a university in crisis because of bad leadership. That failure must not continue to be rewarded. Of course, personnel decisions below the level of university president are not part of your charge as board members. The current president has made it abundantly clear that he sees no need to change his senior administrative staff. The faculty and academic support professionals at Chicago State disagree. We contend that allowing these failed administrators to remain in place increases the likelihood that within a year or two, the university will no longer exist. The faculty and academic support professionals of Chicago State urge you to appoint a new university leader today, someone with both the ability and the authority to make the myriad changes that must occur if this school is to arrest its death spiral. We believe that the best choice for that position is Paul Vallis and ask that you place him temporarily in charge of our university. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not getting paid anything. You got
something to say, come back and say it. The next speaker is Mr. Horton.
I'm next?
Yes.
You know, I guess I'm a little emotional because my name is Frank Horton. I'm from the class of 64. The one-room schoolhouse is 69th and Stewart. It was called Chicago Teachers College. And I'm so proud of this university because if it wasn't for Chicago State, I wouldn't be where I am. I graduated in 64. I worked for the Chicago Public Schools for 35 years as a teacher, counselor, and principal. I retired in 2000. And we started a group called Chicago State Educators. We formed that group because we saw the need for kids to get assistance. We give them scholarships. We do fundraisers. Our last fundraiser was Saturday night at the DuSable Museum. And it was a blast. And Dr. Henderson was there, Mr. Lucy was there, and Mr. Day, I think. But I had given a notice to all the board members at our last meeting, and I gave you four tickets, which came to $200. I did a follow-up. I think Ms. Phillips sent out a blast to send me my check. Now, Trustee Zola just gave me a $500 check, $500. She support education. When I went back against Spencer Lee, Spencer bought 10, told me he'd rather educate them than to bury them. He said, I'd rather educate kids than to bury them. I think that was a good statement. I got his check. So trustees, today, Dr. Horace Smith, Jermaine will take care of you. All I got to do is go by the church.
That's right.
See, I've been doing it long enough to know where to go. I go by the church. Jermaine will give me a check. Am I right, Doc?
That's correct.
Okay. So what I'm saying for the other trustees who didn't, I need a check of $200 today before you leave. $200. I gave you four tickets in your pack. I gave you the four students that we are supporting now here at Chicago State. One got a 4.0. Okay, you have a little time after you ring that. Anyway, they're doing very successful. So thank you very much. And after reading the papers this weekend, I'm very disgusted.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Bob Simon.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm a Southsider. Grew up in Gresham. Played for the Gresham Oakdale Little League Sox team.
Wow.
St. Kilian Grammar School, class of 1961. Mount Carmel High School in Woodlawn, class of 65. I attended Chicago Teachers College, Illinois Teachers College, Chicago South, and earned a bachelor's degree in 1969 from Chicago State College in Englewood. I was vice president of student government from 1968 to 1969. I taught at Holmes Elementary School, 55th and Morgan, before returning to Chicago State University as a graduate teaching assistant in the physical education department, 69 to 70. I was then a special education teacher at Tinley Park High School from 70 to 71 as I earned my master's degree from then Chicago State University, and then you know what I'm saying, to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign for a PhD. I'm currently a tenured full professor in Chicago State University's Physical Education Teacher Education Program. My wife and I are lifetime members of the Alumni Association, in which I serve as vice president. The budget issues and the issues surrounding race, the race of a Chicago State University president, to me, are red herrings. The underlying issue is leadership. Let me share hockey's criteria for a candidate for Chicago State University's presidency. He or she must be a scholar of national note with significant peer-reviewed publications and books in his or her field. There must be no doubt as to his or her standing in the community of scholars. He or she must have served with distinction as the administrative head of a major unit of an institution of higher learning or at the important position of provost and or dean, and so on and so forth. But I urge you to review these criteria before you make a decision on any of our leadership. I've got a dream that one day I'll teach at a university where people, the presidents, come in based on their skills, their leadership skills, and not on the color of their skin. Thank you.
Haki Matabuti.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first time I've been back on the university campus since I was pushed out in 2010. I was named the first university distinguished professor. And with the last president, whom I felt was not able to do the job, we had a battle. I'm here because I love the university. But first and foremost, I love black people. I think that must be the major criteria, that we love our people. And it seemed to me that this institution, I served under five presidents. And each of the presidents, for the most part, were really not capable of running a first-class university. And that's what we need. We need a man or a woman who not only understands this community, understands the history of this university, but has the prerequisites, scholarship, the management skills, the ability to interact with politicians. But most certainly, we need someone who loves black people. I say that several times because I feel the Negroes are back in charge.
Yeah.
And I make a distinction between Negroes and black people.
Yeah.
Only in the sense that those of us who work in this community, have been a part of this community, I mean, I've been in struggle all my adult life. And we need a president who understands that he or she must be accountable to this community before anybody else. Strong academic leadership. So we need a president, provost, vice presidents to provide confidence for faculty, staff, and students, and new direction for the development of strong academic programs and policy at this university. As you all know, enrollment has dropped drastically. How do you go from, when I left, about 7,500 to 8,000 students, down to less than 3,000 students, 85 students coming in at last September? That's criminal.
Yeah.
That would not happen at any other university.
Right.
White university, would not happen. It happens here. And I'm willing to come back. I don't need a job. Put it this way. I don't need a job. I'll just say this finally. This is Gwendolyn Brooks' centennial. She served her last 10 years at this university. And before I left, I was saying that we need to name this library after Gwendolyn Brooks.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Lori Walters. Kim Delaney.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Kim Delaney. I teach African American Studies here at Chicago State University. I got all three of my degrees from Chicago State University. I came here as a kid to this university. I partied here as a high schooler in the K building here at Chicago State University. So I have a long history with Chicago State. I want to thank Hakeem for coming out to speak because he was so disrespected here that he didn't want to come back to this campus. I feel similarly disrespected here. Chicago State, hold on for my time. I think a lot of people here have a lot of things to say, but they don't have a stake in Chicago State. All of these people, as I said, I teach black studies, I'm an activist, I'm always on the side advocating for black people. I think that when you all make this decision, you should know that you should make a decision that you could sleep with at night. It's not about personalities. It's not about who smiles well and friends you, because I've been friended by people here who mean the university no good. I've tried working with this administration, tried to tell this administration, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. They don't care. I think this administration has to be removed. To call for a presidential search without removing this administration would be worthless, because we already did that. You bring in somebody new, this administration won't allow them to lead. They emasculated the man. He felt disrespected himself here. I tried to talk to the administration, negotiate their problems, but what I'm telling you, they only concerned about their paychecks, not about the student, not about the legacy of the school, not about the history of the school, not about the future of the school. I think that this universe, and we can't, I'm emotional right now, but your decision can't be emotional. I don't make emotional decisions. You have to make a decision that benefits the university and not just a friendly thing. Look at the evidence, look at the, whether people, if I don't teach well, I'll be released, right? I think people who don't do their job should be released, period.
Minister Muhammad.
Good morning, trustees. I'm here as a community voice. I am the founder of a community-based coalition known as the New Black Leadership Coalition. I'm here at the consent of our steering committee, who asked me to come and make a statement concerning these affairs. So I'll be brief. Incompetence, evil, negativity leave a residue. They bear fruit. They live in the mind, practice, and policies of narcissistic and sociopathic leadership. Formal degree does not preclude one from being sociopathic personality, whose mind is so self-centered that guilt, shame, remorse, nor self-correction are even possible despite formal education. Cronyism, intimidation, demoralized staff, faculty, and students, and the demoralized community of interest are the byproduct of the current model of leadership. Institutional bullying of staff, faculty, and students, censure of all voices of accountability, the request of staff to make false claims of criminal behavior by those viewed as a threat, millions of dollars in liability from bullying of staff and faculty, crony contracts for highly placed individuals requiring minimal work product, extremely low black contractor and vendor participation, a high reduction in enrollment over the last 6 years, extremely high, the unethical suppression of our next two generation of black scholars, committed to a more equitable model of governance, management, and leadership than the current model. Gross financial irresponsibility in the process and execution of the hiring of Dr. Calhoun and his forced resignation. There must be a forensic audit of the finances of this public institution, as well as a full investigation of the connections, relationships, policies, and practices of those in the highest offices of government, governance, administration, to root out all of those who are cronies and lackeys for the current administration. Bruce Rauner nor Paul Vallis are in any way responsible for any of these institutional atrocities. It is black men and black women who are responsible and must and will be held accountable by the community for these failures. Change is necessary. The old model must die.
Eddie Reed.
Good morning. Let me just say briefly, most people know me as an activist and an advocate, but I speak today in my role of more than 15 years as a headhunter and executive recruiter. I've been involved in national searches at the highest possible level. I go back all the way to 1990 when I served on the transition team of Governor Edgar, and I helped select members of his cabinet. I helped pre-screen those members. So I speak with some authority in terms of looking at credentials and looking at positions. Race does matter. I agree with Brother Haki. Race matters. We have to look at our community, our young people. You have to take the opportunity, every possible chance, to put someone in place in a position. This position is noted across the country as a black university. Therefore, we must do everything we can to put a responsible person who is black in charge of this university, and we must do everything possible. There is a community of interest, and Paul Vallis has not been respective of the community of interest. I know his history. I've studied him through the years. I'm not making a political statement. I'm making a statement based on my credentials and my understanding in this arena. Now, Bruce Rauner, to take a leadership role here to tell us what to do, he needs to straighten up state of Illinois first and put in place a responsible budget. Then maybe we can say that you know how to put responsible leadership at this university. I have a daughter, a 19-year-old daughter at Liberty University. You may not agree with their politics. You may not agree with much of what they do. But I have studied Liberty University very much in terms of how responsible they are and what they do to ensure that that university has gone from a small institution where Farwell started with 35 people in elementary school to an extraordinary university today. Paul Vallis does not have the credentials to provide that leadership for Chicago State University, nor any other university.
Patricia Steinhaus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Patricia Steinhaus. I am a tenured full professor in the College of Education. I've been here since 1999. At the last board meeting, I spoke to you from the CSU Coalition. This morning, I'm going to speak to you as a faculty member. I applaud the Board of Trustees on its effort to move forward in ensuring that Chicago State University has effective leadership. Many of us asked in September 2016 that Dr. Thomas Calhoun be reinstated as the university's president. The opinion of many, as is indicated by the survey that was completed last week, is that that course of action still makes the most sense from both a financial perspective and from the perspective of engaging qualified leadership. While most of us understand that interim steps may be necessary to reaching the desired long-term leadership outcome for the university, we urge you as Board of Trustees members to carefully define the parameters of any interim arrangement that may be deemed necessary. One important mark of effective leadership, particularly at a public institution, is that of engaging, listening to, and responding to all stakeholders of that institution. In other words, being inclusive of all diverse perspectives. In the absence of a system for ensuring that inclusion of stakeholder perspectives at this institution, it is incumbent upon current trustees to actively seek out those perspectives so that they can be utilized in making leadership decisions. The engagement of stakeholders should not rest on a few trustees, but on each of you. Please make no assumptions based on media reports and secondhand information about university staff and faculty. Please do your own research. I entreat you to conduct your work in a vigorous and transparent manner so that we hope also for the sake of the health and vitality of the institution that you will operate inclusively. We continue to watch for, actively work towards, and expect it. Finally, I suspect that none of you has an understanding of the degree of courage that it takes for members of the faculty and staff to stand here before you as we have over the past month to voice our concerns. This institution has operated for the last 7 years in a climate of retribution in which those with dissenting opinions are suddenly determined to be non-essential to the university community and are dismissed and or delegitimized. Thank you.
Joy Hearn.
Good morning. It is my privilege, actually, to stand here before you because there are new board members who may hear what I have to say. I am here not because of me, but I am here because of employees like me, ex-employees like me. This is not a gripe, it's not a grievance, this is the truth. I speak with some authority because I was hired in 2006 as the executive assistant in the office of the president. I served the state of Illinois. I worked in that office to serve the state of Illinois, not the president. Through the president's office, I serve the people in the state of Illinois. I speak with firsthand authority because I knew that Dr. Calhoun did not resign as he stood here and told the world that he did. That's not what happened. He was forced out. I know that for a fact. But the previous board members wanted us to all believe that that's what happened. It didn't happen. But because I knew so much, because I know so much, because I still have so many documents and so much information that I could share with the world, I was requested to leave, to go to another office way across campus. Now mind you, when I was hired in 2006, that was the only job that I had on this campus, so they couldn't put me in another position. I still remained executive assistant somewhat, but now I'm a paper pusher because they thought they could silence me. Yeah. That doesn't happen. Yeah. Never. And I think they know me well enough, the current administration, the previous president. That doesn't happen. I'm here because the employees of this university work damn hard, very hard, to keep this institution running. We pick up the slack where you all lack. That's right. What we do. We are not going to continue to allow you to push us around like cattle, like slaves, so that you can continue to prosper. Right. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You should know that. I ask this current board to please make sure when you're talking to people, talk to the employees, listen to the employees. We know firsthand. Don't you think it's strange that I was in the office of the president for 10 years? I had all the secrets, and all of a sudden, I'm not there. Dr. Calhoun was removed publicly on September 16th, September 19th. The first order of business in the office of the president was to move me, little old me. And you know why? Because I didn't know CSU by. I never even worked with CSU by. That's something that paper pushers do. So I ask you, I implore you to make sure that you don't just talk to these previous board members who sit here, including the chair. You talk to the employees. I sent a letter about harassment to the board members. It was ignored. If you ignore me and I was the assistant to the president, what do you think they do with other employees? You ignore me? I work for the president. You don't hear them? You don't hear me? They're pushed around. I have seen it firsthand. Please, I implore you, there needs to be a change. There has to be a change. Yeah. When you change just the president, it doesn't work.
Right.
Doesn't work.
Right.
I am thankful that we have new board members, and I hope we get rid of the old, because they will never allow the president to be the president. When Dr. Calhoun was ready to make changes, that's when they said, it's time to go. Here's your letter. You gotta go, Mr. President, because you wanna move people out. We won't allow you to do that because we're personal friends.
Yeah.
Don't touch her. Wow. That's my girl. Don't touch her. You can't do anything. So I knew that information. They knew I knew the information, so they couldn't fire me, so they wanted to move me across campus. I sent information to the OEIG. They sent a letter back saying, oh, you know, you've got whistleblower protection, but let's let the board decide what's gonna happen with this. I've never been contacted by a board member, never. They allowed their senior VP to continually harass me, and if she did it to me, who else do you think she's done it to?
Right.
These employees who have been fired, why do you think they're fired? They are fired because they had information or they didn't want to do what somebody asked them to illegally do, like I've been asked to do. That has got to stop. This university is not an HBCU. We are a PBI, yes.
Can you conclude your remarks? Okay.
Thank you. Please hear me.
Deborah Lynch.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Lynch, and I'm a tenured faculty member in the College of Education. I'm also a CSU alum, the first in my family of immigrants to achieve a graduate degree. My CSU degree opened many doors for me, many opportunities and doors that are slamming shut for our current students. I've taught here for 6 years and have seen this great and promising university become a ghost town, a sad shell of its former self, due to the vacuum of leadership over the last several years. I'm here to add my voice to the chorus that says the status quo must go and urge this board to take action immediately because, as you've heard from all the prior speakers, we are beyond crisis and we are desperately in need of decisive leadership and bold action. We thought we had that last year. I was on our National Presidential Search Committee and counter to a lot of the thoughts that committee would go nowhere, we did listen to every constituency group on this campus. We brought the top candidates and had forums and town hall meetings and receptions, and we not only found a candidate of stature and accomplishment, we found one acceptable to every single constituency group in the CSU. He was far and away the only candidate of the top three, enthusiastically embraced by everyone in the voting we held after each town hall and constituency session. Perhaps because of that unanimous outcry of hope and support, that candidate was hamstrung within weeks by our old Board of Trustees, never being able to implement the vision of promise and hope he came here to implement. Our faculty union has taken votes and overwhelmingly support bringing back Dr. Calhoun. Our students cannot afford another long delay to get a permanent leadership here. We need action now. We need a sense of urgency to counter the current narrative of CSU in collapse. We need a sense of obligation to the students who have brought us here and who are counting on us. And leaving the status quo in place is unacceptable and unconscionable. Please take action for us.
Betty Millsap.
Good morning, everyone.
Right up there.
This is my first time ever coming before a group to discuss something, but I was reading the Crusaders newspaper and I was just overtaken by some comments that were made that brought me here today. In the Crusaders newspaper, they talked about the governor of our state of Illinois would not give Chicago State any money unless they accepted the gentleman that he had selected. When I read this, I was outraged because I am the grandmother of three handsome sons, grandsons, and I have two handsome sons who I feel are very intelligent. And I know that we have outstanding black men and women who possess all the skills of adequate leadership. And a scripture came to my mind. It says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark. In this room, I can feel pain of employees. I can feel frustration of teachers. I can feel the community. But we're going to have to forget those things behind and press toward the mark of the high calling. I also researched and I found some colleges in Illinois that carry distinction. And this school can also carry distinction. Sometimes in life, you have to forget your pain and your hurt, and you have to plan and move forward. As I researched, in my research, I found out that no college in the state of Illinois has a president that does not have a master's or a PhD in education. Who has not published? Who has not written books? Who doesn't understand curriculum? Who doesn't understand tolerance? There are a series of things that we must do, but we can maintain. And when it comes to money, I think that we're all willing to put money together for our institution to go forth. In my closing, I would tell you, I want my grandchildren, and you want your grandchildren, to be under the leadership of a competent person, regardless of race, creed, or color. But however, I am outraged when you tell me that an Afro-American man or woman cannot lead a university. I am outraged, and I'm just going to tell you, we can work to make this a college of distinction.
Dr. Beverly.
Good morning. For the record, Philip Beverly, Associate Professor of Political Science. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, Trustees. George Santayana, I didn't know this because it's one of those quotes that just sort of ends up somewhere. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Yeah. And I was taken back to a meeting in this room about 4 years ago. When the university was on a precipice, and we had an opportunity to move us forward, and we missed it, and we're here now. And what you hear and have heard is a result of not taking the action that was necessary at the time. The ship is listing badly, to coin a sort of sailing metaphor, and it can't continue to be crewed by the people that got it in this position. It's pretty straightforward. Extraordinary times is what we find ourselves in, and extraordinary circumstances require extraordinary measures. Those measures, though, have to be targeted, and they have to be time limited. Universities should be restored as quickly as is practicable to normal operations. For the record, faculty would like to renew their request that the reinstatement of Dr. Thomas Calhoun occur as quickly as possible. I have to say that for the record. And I would just say to you, trustees, you got hard choices here. You got hard decisions to make. And not everybody's gonna like them. Thank you for your service, and Godspeed in making the hard choices you have to make.
Hallelujah. Chairman, that was the end of the sign up.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all. On behalf of the board, we really appreciate all of the contributions that have been made this morning. It was the will of the board. Again, on behalf of the board, I want to thank all of you for coming today. It really was important to us to hear from you first. And as you note, often the comment section is after the executive session, and it was the will of the board to hear from the constituent groups before we deliberated. And so we appreciate it. We appreciate what's been shared. I think that all of us know we're here for some very specific reasons. And at this time, we'd entertain the motion to retire into executive session.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Trustee Buckner?
Yes.
Trustee Gowen?
Yes.
Trustee Griffin?
Yes.
Trustee Harper?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Ballas?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
All right, the board will retire. Thank you very much. We will reconvene after executive session. Mm-hmm.